Well, it's great to be here with you. We are so grateful for the chance to be here for the first time together, all of us. My wife and daughters were unable to come previously, so it's great to be here in the summer. I remember the last time I was here. Joel, you might have to help me. Did I visit twice or just the once? Oh, okay. I think you're right. I tell you what, I'm over 50. Memory's not so good. Anyway, the last time I was here, I remember it was freezing. I'm a warm climate person, I tell you. But even after 18 years in Honduras, the blood thins, and cold weather is challenging. But anyway. It's great to be here and meet you folks, our partners in ministry, the gospel. And we're grateful for your prayers, for your financial support. You're very generous with us. We have several churches, maybe three or four, that are exceptionally helpful at Christmas time. And this church is one of them. That blesses us with special Christmas gifts and love offerings, and we're very, very grateful. So thank you for your faithfulness. A little more background as far as our ministry there in Honduras and how God worked to for us to partner with you and you to partner with us. Pastor Joel's brother, David Long. How many of you met David Long? Anybody here met David Long? Has he been up here before? Nobody wants to admit it. Yeah. Nobody raised their hand.
1 week,
yeah. Yeah, David Long and I met in Wilmington, North Carolina. We did a one-year furlough there and got to know David Long. And so David put me in touch with Joel during that time. And again, God, it's a God thing, as we say. The timing was incredible, where the veteran missionary that mentored me had just died October of 2010, unexpectedly. And so we were on furlough, and we were raising more support, and so David contacted Joel, Pastor Joel, and we didn't know that Tabernacle supported the missionary, the Howells, this missionary that had just died. And so that's how it all came together. So I guess pretty much at that point, the missionary's wife was coming off the field. So y'all took us on as partners there. And to replace, I guess, basically the Howells, and so we're very grateful for that.
I forgot about all that, Sam.
Yeah, well, you must be over 52. Yeah, it's permanently in my memory. It's amazing how God worked in that. Which goes very well with my focus this morning in several passages, but primarily in Romans 15. If you want to look at Romans 15, turn to Romans 15. Grace for global ministry. Grace for global ministry is Romans 15:15 through 32. The first missionary sent out by a local church, Paul, giving a tribute to God's grace for global ministry. Paul, a global missionary, and only by the grace of God. Hence, grace for global ministry. It's this theme of God's grace in the life of every believer, obviously, is central to everything we are and do. But specifically central to full-time ministers of the gospel, whether stateside or in other countries, the grace to serve God in ministry is, we cannot overemphasize that and we cannot emphasize it enough. And so I want to focus on that, and we find this theme of God's grace here in this passage and two other passages that we will look at. Before we read that passage, I want you to listen to a testimony in song, a song written by Dave Hamilton, basically a tribute to God's grace. Listen to these words. Time measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul, I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world just to learn how heaven could be gained, just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran a course I could not start. And knowing fully just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I know where I would be. Moving words in tribute to God's grace. I know where I would be were it not for grace. Grace simply means God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve sanctification, which is the process of transformation of our character, our minds, our actions, and we must understand, folks, the centrality, the importance of God's grace. Christ, as we'll read in these passages, was God's grace demonstrated, the Father's grace demonstrated, and we're in this age of grace, and you contrast this age of grace. This time of grace, this period of grace, we call it, from the cross to the return of Christ, and you contrast that to the age of the law, and it just, you'll see in these passages how blessed we are to understand God's eternal plan of salvation, not only for us but for the lost mankind. And so why don't we read in Romans 15, just to start, let's read verses 15 and 16 so we understand Paul's heart here. Paul says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that was given to me of God that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." That's all one thought. It's hard. You can't breathe really much through there. But get that, especially the last part of 15. Because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Key words, grace and Gentiles. Why? Because the Gentiles are the pagans out there on the foreign field. Okay, that's foreign missions. That was foreign for Paul too. And so he says, it's the grace of God that I have this ministry to the foreign field. And that theme runs throughout this entire chapter. Now, why don't we first look at John 1, 14 through 17, and then over at 1 Corinthians 15, we'll see again this theme of grace. John 1, 14, 16, and 17. Note carefully grace here. John, speaking of Christ, who is the Word, the living Word, verse 14, John 1, 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth." And really the emphasis is grace and truth. Okay? 16, "And his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." And verse 17, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Paul is, or John here, is emphasizing, okay, Moses, the law, that age, and then now Christ has come. So now we understand better what grace and truth. The law focusing mostly on, or in some sense, on the truth, but Christ got the Father's grace in full color, we could say. Grace and truth, we grasp, we understand through by Jesus Christ, it says. And you know, verse 18 we looked at in Sunday school, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has demonstrated or declared him. So grace through Christ and his coming to the earth some 2,000 years ago. Now flip over to 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 11. Again, Paul here now emphasizing grace for global ministry. Grace, were it not for grace. 1 Corinthians 15, 9, 10, and 11. This passage is so clear. 1 Corinthians 15, 9, 10, and 11. Again, here we have Paul giving testimony. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle. I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. All right, here it is. But by what? The grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, not I, but what? But the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, because of that, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So what is Paul giving the credit for his ministry and for any success he has in ministry? What? The grace of God. How important is that to you? If we don't understand this, we're not going to have a whole lot of ministry. We're not going to accomplish a whole lot. Literally, nothing of eternal value is accomplished apart from God's grace. So it's just a fact. It's a spiritual law. If we don't understand that it's the power of God by His grace flowing through us that enables us. It's enabling grace. If we don't understand that, we're going to have a very ungracious, ungraceful, however you want to say it, carnal, man-centered ministry. And that doesn't accomplish anything. Right. So this morning, I want to focus on that. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll quickly see how this grace is demonstrated. Father, we thank you for your grace, and we ask you to empower us again through your grace, through the Holy Spirit this morning, that we might understand your word and communicate clearly your word, and then live and apply your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Paul's tribute to grace there, wow, 1 Corinthians 15 is just such a wonderful encouragement to me, such a clear explanation of the importance of grace. But going back to Romans 15, 15 through 31, here we find the word Gentile repeated some 10 times in some 15, 20 verses. This passage, Romans 15, 10 times the term Gentiles is used. So that alone, we don't have time to dissect all of that, but that alone tells us Paul is writing here through the power, through the inspiration of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. He's writing about his calling and his ministry among the pagans, which were the Gentiles of that day. in contrast to the Jews. Paul, being a Jew, was sent out to the Gentiles. Okay? So this is a foreign ministry focus here. Now, the gospel, the word gospel, we see four times here in four different verses. And I want to look at that just briefly. The word gospel, notice in chapter 15, verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering what? The gospel of God. Verse 19. At the end of verse 19, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Notice verse 20. The very first part, yes. So have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. Then verse 29. I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of what? Of the gospel of Christ. Paul is focusing on and trying to get the Roman believers to focus on the good news, the ministry of the gospel, and how that is primary in all that he is about and all that he says and does. And so, based on the foundation there in verse 15, because of the grace that is given unto me of God, that I should be a minister ministering the gospel, verse 15 and 16, I want us to see how the grace of God is demonstrated in very specific ways in a minister of the gospel. You may be a Christian school teacher, you may be a Sunday school teacher, you may be a pastor, you may be a leader of some kind in ministry. We all, and not just leaders in ministry, but every believer needs to understand how to really apply and work out the grace of God in real life. And that's what we're going to see here. The grace of God for ministry, locally and globally, first is demonstrated in Paul's life here through pioneering courage. Pioneering courage. That's verses 16 through 21. And then we're going to see that God's grace is demonstrated through Paul in his personal compassion, verses 22 to 29. And then third, we're going to see how grace is demonstrated through prayer commitments. Okay, so three central thoughts: pioneering courage, personal compassion, prayer commitments. Pioneering courage. How is pioneering courage a demonstration of God's grace here in the ministry of Paul? Paul speaks of going to a different culture or race, and he uses this phrase in, I believe it's verse 19, yes, verse 19, of going from Jerusalem unto Illyricum. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, how many of you know where Illyricum is? Anybody know what the present day country is today that was Illyricum? Anybody know? Yugoslavia. From Israel, Jerusalem, to Yugoslavia. Now that's global ministry. And it's that pioneering courage to leave the comfort zone and go to an area that we don't know. A different culture, different race. And in these verses here, 16 through 19, we have, the term Gentiles mentioned three times. And so Paul demonstrated God's grace in him, God's favor that builds up and transforms and gives the courage to go beyond where no one has gone before, Star Trek stole that idea from Scripture. I'm convinced. But it's only God's grace that can give us that kind of courage and boldness. And so, the demonstration of this courage is simply going to a different culture and race. But not only that, but going to an unevangelized area, verses 20 and 21 is a demonstration of pioneering courage. I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, as is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. There it is. That's pioneering courage. And so, you and I, if we're going to go with the gospel, as the Great Commission says, we're going to need the grace of God to go out of our comfort zone. In my case, learn a different language. Go to a different race and culture. And put all that behind me and block all that out and just proclaim Christ. And it's the same here in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, wherever you live. If you're going to go with the gospel, you're going to have to go where the gospel has not been received, and you're going to have to depend on the Lord for the courage to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that God's grace is sufficient, and being willing to forget about yourself and step out. Not only go, but go with compassion, personal compassion. The grace of God is demonstrated through personal compassion. How? Verses 23 and following show us that it's through a generosity, a generous use of your time. Paul, speaking there in verses 23 and 24, giving testimony, but now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. At first, I be somewhat filled with your company, and then verses 28, 29, I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing, the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers together, your prayers to God for me. In verse 28, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed by to them this fruit, I will come to you, come by you into Spain. So what we see here is Paul speaks a lot of his willingness to travel and go and invest time and energy in people's lives. Paul, like Christ, knew that the gospel had to be proclaimed in other cities also. He had a vision for the another area, the regions beyond, we could say. And he was willing to travel. And it's all because he had a compassion for individuals, for people, personal compassion. He was generous with his time. When we minister there in Honduras, it's not just a matter of having three services a week, Sunday, Wednesday. It's a matter of investing time in people outside of the services, home Bible studies, Tuesday, Thursday night, youth and single adult retreats and rallies on Saturdays. It's going out to where the people are in the military base, or going into the public schools. It's compassion for people, getting outside of the church walls and going to real people and loving them. Amen. That's what Paul was all about. Wherever he was other-centered. Personal compassion through generosity with your time, through generosity with your money. Verse 26, 27, it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them verily, truly, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Paul, he lived in reality. Paul understood the need for funds to, you know, and Paul, not just to support himself, you know, a tent maker. He supported himself. He was a tent maker missionary. He gladly welcomed the donations, the gifts from the Church of Philippi. You know, he thanked them for that. The book of Philippians speaks to that. But Paul himself generously gave of his funds as a minister of the gospel. He speaks of how he didn't want to be a burden to the churches, so he funded his mission. Now that's sacrifice. That's compassion. That is such a clear demonstration of the grace of God in Paul's life. Now, you know, we know tent maker missionaries. We know missionaries that are supported completely by gifts and partnerships with churches and individuals. But either way, generosity with our funds, our money, is necessary and is truly a demonstration of God's grace. We have, in our churches in Honduras, we have funds set aside for benevolence funds, as most churches do here in the States as well. We support three missionaries, and we understand what it means to give of funds for needy folks in the church and the community, as well as missionaries. And so personal compassion, trying to help with time and money, is truly by the grace of God. And so pioneering courage, personal compassion, are demonstrations of the grace of God for ministry, but also prayer commitments, verses 30 through 32. How is prayer commitment truly a demonstration of God's grace? How is it presented here? Paul, in verse 30, which we just read, requests that the Roman believers join him, unite together with him in prayer. And he says, that is the help I need. And he frequently asks believers to help him with their prayers. 1 Corinthians 1:11, Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Pray for me. And here he says that strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul recognized he needed God and God's grace to have the opportunity, the open doors to minister, to have the boldness to minister, he says in Ephesians 6, 18. To open his mouth as he should, he said, there to proclaim Christ, to proclaim the gospel. That takes a commitment. If you don't set aside time and commit to pray for your pastor, for missionaries, you're not going to do it faithfully. You have to make that commitment. It's a prayer commitment. And Paul begs them. He says, I beseech you, I beg you to pray, strive together with me in prayer. Then Paul explains that that prayer for missionaries shows love for Christ and love for the whole, for the Holy Spirit. Did you realize that? Verse 30 again. I beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. What does that mean? When he says, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, strive together in prayer for me. What does for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake mean? For the furtherance of the gospel, sure, but Jesus Christ's sake, to get his name out for the sake of his name, sure, but it's also referring to a love for him and his name and a love for the gospel. If you are not praying faithfully for leaders who are proclaiming the gospel of Christ, for missionaries, for your pastor, for your Sunday school teacher, others, if you're not praying regularly, faithfully for them, and praying for those who would go and testify the gospel, even among yourselves as a local body, there's a problem with your love for Christ himself. And not only Christ, but it says here the Holy Spirit. For the love of the Spirit, strive together with me in your prayers. And so Paul explains that prayer for missionaries shows love for Christ and the Holy Spirit. So when we don't pray for the missionaries, and by the way, that when I don't pray for the missionaries, I'm not talking about when you don't pray for me. No, it's all of us. We have the missionaries' prayer cards on our table too. I hope you have the missionaries' prayer cards on your dining table or somewhere where you can see them, and where you're reminded that, you know, this is important. And you maybe take that card out of the box or take it off the fridge and you know, share it with your family and you pray for them, these missionaries specifically by name. When we don't do that, we're showing a cold heart, literally, to Christ himself. So Paul explains this commitment is rooted and motivated by a love for Christ. And this prayer, this plea for prayer, Paul says, is because I'm in real danger. Verse 31, that I may be delivered. Pray, strive together in your prayers to God for me, because that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. There was opposition from without the church and even from within the church. So, you know, we face that in our ministry as well. Opposition from without, opposition from within, even fellow believers or fellow missionaries at times. And we need prayer. And our leaders need prayer, and other missionaries, co-workers need prayer. 2 Timothy 1:15 refers to that. We don't have time to look at that passage, but opposition from within and without. So that final thought there, that, you know, God's grace is demonstrated through prayer commitment for global ministry. Christ enabled Paul to be in ministry in the first place, saved him. And then Christ in his grace was the force of Paul's confidence in ministry. Grace is the force of our confidence in ministry. We don't glory in ourselves. As 2 Corinthians says, we don't proclaim or preach ourselves. We preach Christ. But that the word proclaim, to preach, speaks of confidence. When you share the gospel, if you have the grace of God working in you, you will have confidence. And it's again, that is the enabling power that the grace of God gives us. And, you know, 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul speaks of his thorn in the flesh and how he prayed three times. And Christ said, my grace is sufficient for you. And many times we, in our English understanding, we okay, God's grace is just enough. It's sufficient. So it's just enough to get me through. Well, no, that is not the idea. And 1 Corinthians, we're going to close in 1 Corinthians 1:12. Look at this. The exceeding abundance of what God's grace gives us. Look at 1 Timothy 1:12, please. 1 Timothy 1:12, 14 and 15. Notice how grace is spoken of here. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 14, and the grace of our Lord was what? Exceeding what? Abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here I am, the chief of sinners. And God's abundant grace is able to let me minister the gospel. And so if you just think about that, Paul identifies himself as a very terrible, wicked sinner. You know, were it not for the grace of God, he's saying, I would not be in ministry. And obviously, this grace is exceeding what? Abundant. It's not just enough to get by. It's more than enough, right? Yeah. And we've got to realize that. every time we want to make an excuse to not minister for Christ, we need to remember this. No. Your petty problems, your aches and pains. Now, God's grace can handle that. God's grace can handle your thorn in the flesh. God's grace can handle your individual obstacles and maybe what you feel are things that would keep you from being an effective minister of the gospel. No excuses. Grace is abundant. It's amazing grace. It's from the God of all grace. It's through the indwelling Spirit of Christ, who is grace incarnate. We have no excuse. We must depend, folks, on God's grace. Because if we don't, we're not going to go with the gospel. We're not going to win souls to Christ. We're not going to surrender to serve in ministry. Our young people are not going to serve. They're not going to surrender to ministry. If we as adults don't live by and through the grace of God on a moment-by-moment basis and truly demonstrate the grace of God through what? Pioneering courage, personal compassion, and what was the last one? Prayer, commitment. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this simple understanding of what truly is the source of all that we are and do as believers, as witnesses, as ministers, servants of the Lord, in whatever part, aspect that you have for us in ministry today. And so, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Take away our selfish focus, ambition. Help us to rearrange our priorities so that we truly can, as Paul said, go forth and be empowered for gospel ministry wherever we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Amen. Pastor Joel.